All right, we'll keep it on the markets and bring in our next guest. Michelle Schneider is MarketGage.com partner and director of trading research and education. Michelle, thanks so much for joining us. So keep calm and carry on. That's my mantra for what's happened over the last 24 hours. I'd love to know what your take is. And do you think there is a sense of some complacency in the market? And what sort of technicals are you looking at right now to make sense of where we are right now and what's to come?
Okay, so there's a lot of points in that question. So let's start with stay calm and carry on. Really, basically, what you're saying is a great lesson that we learned this week, which is if you are going to respond knee-jerk reactions to narratives, you're going to get into a lot of trouble. So you have to have a plan and you have to really step back and understand that the market and the headlines didn't necessarily line up. All of a sudden, there was all this talk about the Qs being in a bearish phase because they use that 20%. But we like to look at long-term charts. And if you looked at the long-term charts, even though most of the indices, if not all of them, and most of the sectors were under the 50-week moving average, they were still well above the 200-week. So that really has kept us from getting too negative, which brings me to my next point. The market is actually range-bound, which is very typical of what happens in a stagflation environment, which is exactly what we have going on. And the one that really has been, I think, the key to watch here of the four indices has been the small caps, or IWM, or the Russell 2000, because it is the granddaddy of the U.S. economy. It rolled over in November before everything else did. And then yesterday, with the dramatic fall, it broke down underneath the January low by 10 cents, 10 ticks, and then came right back through and started turning around. Does this tell me now we're back to bullish? No, but it tells me exactly what, pretty much what Jared was trying to say, which is we're kind of range bound. And if we get to the middle of the range, we could find some resistance. But unless now we have a lot of work to do to break down under those lows, it would have to be something hugely catastrophic for that to happen. So at this point right now, I think we have to keep that in mind, that we're in stagflation, we're range bound, and stay calm.
Well, I hope nothing catastrophic happens. None of us want to move in that direction. So, but you did say the S word, stagflation. So brings me to my next question. PCE came in at 6.1% growth year over year, core at 5.2%. Income was flat in January, spending increased. How does this Russia aggression impact what the Fed has to do at that March 16th meeting, in your opinion?
Well, Karina, that's a great question. And I think what we're really seeing here is that this has become a great scapegoat for the Fed. They have really wanted to hold on to the transitory narrative. Speaking of narratives, I think even though they came out with a lot of hawkish talk over the last couple of weeks, particularly some of the other Fed members and not necessarily Powell, but Powell actually said today that he's still worried about the fact that the economy has not accelerated coming out of Omicron the way it should, and that the geopolitical situations, he's concerned about that. And in terms of the inflation, he can look at Russia and say, well, yeah, maybe now things are running too hot and things will cool off and it is transitory and we don't have to be as hawkish as we thought. We'll raise, but it's not going to be as aggressively as we have basically been putting into the headlines. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing here. So I would take that with a grain of salt, not necessarily because of what the Fed's doing, but this downward price movement we're seeing today in gold and silver and oil and food commodities, mm-hmm. to me, is a buy opportunity.
Okay, absolutely. So let me ask you this. The energy conundrum is a big deal here, right? It's clear right now energy is off the table as far as sanctions. The EU and US haven't moved in that direction. But what if the situation deteriorates? What if, as you say, there's a catastrophic scenario that plays out? How does that impact, you know, what are the economic ramifications of that?
Well, we've already seen economic ramifications just with oil getting up to $100 a barrel and the fact that we are paying, in some areas, $5 for a gallon of gas. So that's going to pinch pockets. And that's why we've seen this downturn in a lot of the consumer discretionaries, because people have to pay for what they need and not necessarily for what they want. If things deteriorate further, I think there's obviously the negative consequence would be gas will go higher and oil will go higher. And then we can see whether or not OPEC plus moves into the equation. They've been very quiet through all of this, and they are huge producers of oil. There's been talk about reserves being released here in the United States, but I don't think that's going to make much of a difference. But there is a silver lining, and that's alternative energy. And Jared also just pointed out that TAN is up the most, over 10% over the last couple of days. And I think that that would actually be maybe the real impetus to get people to seriously say that alternative energy will eventually replace fossil fuel. Maybe it'll take some time, but it's time to go back into investing into some of those solar areas.
Okay, well, I think we're a ways off from a green energy sweep. But you did touch on commodities, and you said that gold looks attractive to you. What do you think about big tech? We saw that huge bounce back in the NASDAQ yesterday and continuing today. Do you think that sector is oversold?
Yes, I think that's why we're seeing a bounce. It is because it's oversold. But I would not necessarily want to be in there for any kind of passive investing. We've just went through some pain. And yes, people are getting an opportunity to see some of their portfolios come back. But that's not to me where the growth is going to be this year. I still think that we're in the start of a super cycle in commodities. And that maybe because of COVID in the rearview mirror, we'll see other areas come back. Like I said, if oil continues to go up, we'll be looking more at alternative energy, even if we are far away from green energy. But to me, big tech, this is not necessarily where I would want to put my money right now, because I still think the interest rates will go up. And yes, some companies will survive that, but many that have been borrowing money at zero to make up for lousy balance sheets in the tech area, they won't survive.
Okay, thank you for that perspective. We will leave it there. Michelle Schneider, MarketGage.com partner and director of trading, research, and education. Have a happy weekend.